Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
But Fia Sestina storms away with 150 to go. She's 4-5 lengths in front. It's going to be a puck plate round. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face. At the 150, Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. Wicks down the middle. Kings will dream at the 100. It's getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold. I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is our friends. We are not permanent. G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, or welcome for the first time if this is your first time listening in. It has been a little 3-week hiatus and we really have needed it. I don't know about you, Bot, but I certainly have.
I was surprised we're back already.
I certainly have. Well, the reason we are back is because it is Hong Kong International Races Week. So happy HKIR week to all those who celebrate, but we are back. We are back, baby. We are back.
Man, I didn't even know we were doing a podcast tonight until you posted about it. I don't know if I missed something, but anyway.
We're always going to return for this week.
I have no idea about it.
This is my favorite day of racing.
Mate, for me, it's Ballarat Cup Day. I'm not worried about the Hong Kong meeting.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I'll watch it.
What have you been up to for the last couple of weeks, mate?
I don't know. Not overheat. It's been too hot. I can't do hot weather. I get grumpy and I can't do it. Like, I'm just not a hot person. Like
a hot
weather person. No,
you're fucking ugly.
Shut up. A hot weather person, I mean. But yeah, what about you? I've just been doing racing and working and usual.
I'm sweating up a bit right now, to be honest. I've joined a new football team. So up the mighty Lakers, Caroline Springs Football Club, and
we've
started pre-season. Yep.
LeBron making it.
Because there's a big fuck off lake in the middle of Caroline Springs, so sort of makes sense to call yourself the Lakers. And it's been tough. It's been real tough, and it's been a vicious cycle of December's probably that time where there's so many sort of day parties and music festivals on the weekend. You go to one of those and by the time training comes around, you're still a bit ordinary. So it's been a bit of a vicious cycle, but we are slowly but surely building up the fitness space.
And you're getting old too, again. So you can't recover as well as I can.
I am, yeah. Enjoy it while it lasts. I'll tell you what, I've been getting serious Hong Kong FOMO. Last night was the IJC at Happy Valley. I was looking back at some of my memories from this time a year ago with Isaac Bishop, the Bish, and mate, I wish I was there right now. I was looking back on some of our Happy Valley sort of stories and photos. I tell you what, there is no such thing as a responsible service of alcohol over there. It's just drink to your heart desires, jugs, really? Pints, whatever you want. You can smoke wherever you want, like Vapes are illegal, I'm pretty sure, but people are lighting up darts and hanging over the fence watching the races. It is just another world. And then the Sunday is obviously more serious mode, and your true punters are out there at Sha Tin. So if you're over there, I'm very jealous of you at the moment. But you need to make sure you get yourself on one of those racing.com junkets one day.
Yeah, maybe. Hope so. Well, I'd have to start betting there. Get a database for Hong Kong. That'd be fun, actually. I could do that.
A lot of people have an absolute fill up there because it's the same horses racing each other. It's a small bubble. No scratches.
You're also betting against the sharpest of sharp punters in the world there.
Yeah, true. And if you're betting into the totes
and stuff as well.
I think you'd be surprised how many people use a VPN and still bet Australian corps that are over there. I didn't say that.
Well, have they got corps? Have they got corp? Like, what? Nah. I thought it was just the totes.
Yeah, it's all the totes.
Yeah, but if you can't, like, bet international. Like, if you can't bet international.
So, if you're over in Hong Kong right now and you've got an Australian address, you can use that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, they've got no minimum bet law for Hong Kong.
No, I don't think so.
Like, what happened when I tried to bet Royal Ascot last year? That would be the same, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Spotify Wrapped is the next topic we quickly want to talk about. So thank you, everyone, who has tuned in during the year. The stat that I found phenomenal is that 454 of you have Racing Previews as your number one podcast.
I don't know how you do it. Why would you listen to this?
It is just literally us talking garbage and trying to find winners, but we really do appreciate your support. And it's almost a bit of a shock bot when it comes around to this time of year, and we sort of realize that people actually do listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I don't know how or why, but thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. We do our best. You know, it is 9:30 right now on a Thursday. So, yeah,
we like doing it. A few other statistics. 51% of our followers discovered us this year. So that means real growth.
So that's
massive. And I fully know that I am annoying as anything on Twitter with all the posts that I do.
Yes, you are.
But half of it is just bringing new people to the page, and then all of a sudden they click on our podcast and that's what grows it. So if you're sick of me on Twitter, you can mute me. That is absolutely fine.
It's a good suggestion. I'll do that.
But there is a method to this madness, and there is a reason why I do it. And that is to grow the podcast. Congratulations to Julian Valance. I think this is either the second or the third time in a row where Jules was the most popular podcast of the entire year. He came on, of course, for Caulfield Cup and the Everest, which is admittedly
the biggest day of the year.
Probably the biggest day in Australian racing. But nonetheless, Jules has taken it out yet again. So congratulations to Jules. We know he's a great man. All right. Anything else?
I don't know. What's happened since we left? What races have there been? Stand down last week. Oh, John Allen on somewhere. My God. Yeah.
Should have called it nowhere because there was nowhere to go on somewhere.
And then promises kept. I only had like three bets, but whatever. I don't want to win just too much. But and then you got a Rapahoe home at $11. Would it start like $4 or something?
Yeah, about that. So that
was it all in $11 or did it open $11?
Yeah, it was all in $11. That was a good result. Obviously, Overpass winning yet again. He's now unbeaten 4 out of 4.
Yeah, how do they keep letting him go around? Like,
because people grey up way too much because of a barrier draw.
I don't think it was because of the barrier draw. It was probably because it was so bad last time.
Yeah, but he was bad second up last year in the Everest as well, and then he came out and licked him.
Yeah, but that's the Everest. It's different.
Yeah, but it was still the Dali Sprint, whatever they call it, Champion Sprint. I don't know. Anyway, I was happy about that. Port Lockroy won a pretty average edition of the Railway Stakes.
Didn't Sox Nation win it?
Low blow, bot. You make mistakes all the time.
I have never made a mistake. When they lose, you know, it's what? Not my fault. It's John Allen's fault.
You know what? You want to be making even less mistakes because you will be working at Flemington in the Racing Victoria buildings very soon, mate.
Why is that? Oh,
Because the Racing.com offices are moving.
Potentially. Don't say
potentially.
That.
Potentially. Is that not official yet?
I don't know. Maybe I'm out of the loop, but last time I heard it was a potential.
Oh, I'm good. Every day. Aaron Morrison will be watching your every move, bot. Every move.
Aaron, they all know me.
All right. I'm hot. Let's move on to some racing. Obviously, Nico is not here tonight. He probably will be back at some stage, but he's very busy at this time of year, bot, because Jim's mowing. It's absolutely flying. It's absolutely flying in December because everyone wants their yards to be looking good for Christmas Day and New Year's when they've got guests over. So he's working right around the clock. All right, Ballarat, sunny Ballarat. It's going to be warm. It's not going to be sunny. It's not going to be sunny. What do you sort of think? Have you had a look at the radar? It's sort of saying 1 to 10 mils.
I know there's rain around. I don't know exactly how much. It's Ballarat. It's going to chop up. I don't want to bet too much early. We'll talk about a couple of races, but, you know, we're probably going to be talking about Hong Kong most of the time. This is not a race I want to talk about too much because I don't want to give the punters information that's going to be completely irrelevant by the time a lot of rains hit the track. It's just completely different. So, last time I did that was, I can't remember. I remember doing it some other time and like lots of rain hit the track and like I didn't even back half the ones I said to back.
So Bot had to fill up backing wet trackers and he just
I don't believe in wet trackers, so I didn't.
All right, let's we may as well go straight to the Ballarat Cup. The rail is in the true position. It's a 2,000-meter listed race and it's worth $500,000. Poison Chalice is the $5 favorite. Future History $6.50. Opened up tens on Sportsbet. I found that remarkable. Globes $9. Obviously won the Cranbourne Cup. Air Assault ran second there, $9. Berkeley Square, eighth up is $9.50. Ain't No Deal Done, $9.50. And It's a Wild Night is $12.
And you've backed half the card.
Half the field, yep. It is worth noting, punters, that this is a field of max capacity field of 16 with 4 emergencies. And there's currently 20 acceptors and none are scratched yet. So all the emergencies have drawn inside the likes of Future History and It's a Wild Night, even Ain't No Deal Done. So if there are no scratchings of the horses that are entered for the race, then all those emergencies come out and they all come in 4 positions. I think that is worth noting. Bot, take it away. Firstly, we'll go through a quick speed map. Magnus Spin goes forward from barrier 3. You'd think Air Assault won't want to be too far away from 7. Globe, I think there's a potential that he's ridden a little bit more conservatively because 2,000 metres is still a box that he hasn't ticked.
Nah, there's only one way to go. They're not stupid. They'll just like, I'd rather see the one of those goes straight to the front.
Yeah, well, I'm against him. Future History and Cerulean Miss also want forward positions. Talk us through a bit of the race and what do you think of it?
I think they're going even to fast pace. You know, there's a couple of these that at big odds, it wouldn't really surprise me that might have been bad last time that can really hit back, I guess. So like Young Werther, you know, he was pretty average in the Caulfield Cup, but it's a Caulfield Cup and, you know, you look past that and he's got a bank of ratings that have him really, really competitive in this. And Berkeley Square did a lot of running late in the Zipping Classic from way too far back. Even a horse like Banker's Choice interests me a little bit. I think he ran, I think I backed him in this race last year or something. No, he won it 2 years ago, didn't he? I'm pretty sure he did. Anyway, he was doing something.
Yeah, he beat a tissue on a wet track.
That's not bad form, is it? So, 40-1, he's a horse that I could have something on. And I always feel like Poison Chalice is a horse that's, the market just has him going to a level I just can't get into. Like, last two starts, and I thought he was really bad last time, and they backed him again last week at Caulfield. And, you know, he went to a new peak, and it was all good and well, but I think he's probably going to have to go to a new peak here, or if not, I think he's a couple others might have to come off their absolute best. So I think he's an interesting favourite. I think he probably should be a favourite just because the market has such a good opinion of him, but not a dominant favourite anyway. Like, I think this race is like 850 the field, and if I'm going to bet in this race, which I'm no guarantee to, there's a few bigger odds that I'll probably have someone on, like Young Werther. I back him in a Caulfield Cup. I'm going to back him here. Banker's choice. And yeah, anyway, what do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I do like your thinking there. I'll go through the few that I've backed. I've got Future History as my on top tip. As I mentioned, he'll jump from 13 once emergencies come out, if all of those emergencies do come out. Look, I prefer if you had like a Mark Zara riding him compared to a DBM, but I think they'll just roll straight to the front here, find a forward position, whether he leads or not. He was really, really good in the Champion Stakes last start, sort of sat wide on a pretty decent tempo, 59.5 kilos. Yes, he's got to carry a bit of weight, but he deserves it. Back Poison Chalice all in, just thought on the backup. And also, if this rain does come, he proved that he handles a wet track no problem when second to New Energy last week. 2,000 metres, probably still a small question mark, but he'll never get a better opportunity to run it. And he gets Craig Williams down on 54.5 kilos. Back to Ain't No Deal Done. Sportsbet actually went up $35 for this horse, which was ridiculous, given he was $8 in the Eclipse before he came out last week. He probably doesn't want too much rain, so that's the issue if the rain does really come down. But nonetheless, he's flying. He had a mid-prep jump out on a heavy eight. I know it's only a jump out, so it's not race pressure. But I've got a ticket on him, and I agree with you on Young Werther. This horse started $13 in a Turnbull, and now you're getting $17 in a Ballarat Cup. Like, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I know it was disappointing in the Caulfield Cup, but he's had a little bit of a freshen up. 2,000 metres is more suitable, and he's going to jump from barrier 10 once the scratchings come out. So, yeah, those are the four that I've got my thoughts centred around. Obviously, I'm sort of with the class. And the two horses that I really want to take on are Globe and Berkeley Square. I think Globe was falling in a bit of a hole last start at the Mile and the Cranbourne Cup on a track that did favour those on speed. And Berkeley Square's eighth up, back and trip off a taxing run in the Zipping Classic, and I think you could just be flat as a pancake. So, yeah, that's sort of where I'm at.
Do you know who's going to ride it? Because Luke Nolan fell today.
Yeah, I saw that. So thoughts are with Luke Nolan. He had a really bad tumble today. I'm not sure, actually. So that'd be interesting. Do they go back to Jayla Kennedy, who's been riding him, all up until this point? But, yeah, that'll be very interesting.
Not she sure. Still got a claim? He does, doesn't she?
No, not in a black top race.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be benchmark 100 down.
Yeah, of course. All right.
What do you think of Muramasa? He probably doesn't want a wet track, but yeah, 18 I mean, bucks.
Yeah, like the ratings say yes, but he's off a there was a Cintignate. What is it? What's the word? Cintignify.
Cintigraphy.
Scan. Yeah, that one. Yeah, the scan. there was that sort of cloud. He's missed, probably 2 or 3 months of racing, and not a horse I want to be on, especially if it's going to be wet and testing and they're going to run along at a good pace. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they just scratch him, especially from gate one. I think they probably want to be favouring horses that are drawn out by this time of the day at Ballarat.
Yeah.
That's what usually happens when it rains there.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's get through some of the other races. We'll go back to race two, which is the Emerging Stars final 1400 metre class three. Dream All Day is $2 bot. Do we need to go further down the order than this, or is this a pretty smart horse?
No, we were talking about a tissue earlier. This is a tissue's little sister, actually, Dream All Day, and her debut was good. She was pretty bad second up, with the market liked her. And then she was really, really good against Aztec State over 2,000 metres at Flemington. And then she came back first up, and she was about 280, or I think it was 260. And then an hour later, by jump time, she was smashed into $2, $10, $25 Betfair SP. She ran massive split. She put a space on at Ballarat over at the track and trip. And, yeah, I reckon she'll smash him. I think she's just a lot better than me. She's going places. She's well bred. I think she probably starts like $1.70 and wins. I think you know, it's if I'm gonna have an early bet on the day, this is the one I'm gonna have, because it's just you know, there's no real knowing whether she might not like a wet track or not, but I think she's just so much better than them. I'm happy to take the risk.
And we've got to remember, like, it's 30 degrees, so if the rain, like, there's a potential that the track is going to be pretty firm before the rain does come, so it might take a bit for it to actually.
Plus, she's off. A Tissue's little sister. Tissue doesn't mind the rain. So.
True. I'm just looking at the ratings now, and gee whiz, she's got a bit of a stranglehold.
She does. And she's got splits to go with it.
Wow. Yeah. If she improves off last start, then she'll be winning.
Yeah.
All right. Race 4, I've got a bet. This is the 1,200-meter Gold Eureka Stockade. Ferrari is $3.50. Favorite from Miss Rumbini, $3.70. Miraval Rose is $6. Mo Down, $7. In the new colors for Charlotte Littlefield. And Anna's Dream is $9.50. I am pretty keen on Miss Rumbini here. I thought her return run behind Neonce was very, very good. She was sort of caught in the inferior going there at Caulfield. We know it was a day where the wind played real havoc. Neonce was the only horse who led and won, but she ended up getting a bit of a picnic out in front. Miss Rumbini was excellent there. The rating, you know, her last two ratings are very, very good, and her last start rating compared to anything else in the field is clearly better. So she's come back really well. She stays at 1,200 metres, so that's a bit of a knock. Would have loved for her to go to 1,400 metres, but
next time. Yeah,
the soft track won't matter at all. And Ferrari, that last start, although she was unlucky, that kin race didn't really rate that well compared to Miss Rumbini. So I know Ferrari's drawn better in one. Miss Rumbini's probably going to get back from 10, but I think she's going to let rip down the outside and smoke them both. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think she probably should be favourite over Ferrari. There's like the map angle, I guess, but I'd be, you know, I don't think there's any, I haven't really, I think they're probably about the right. Miss Rubini's probably slightly too big, but nothing crazy. But yeah, the maps could be interesting. If they snag it because they want to get it a 14 next time, third up and win and go forward. If they're trying to get her to something, I don't know what they might try and get her to. But you know, I think she, all things being equal, I think she probably should win this race. But
should win, and you're getting $4.
That's not good enough for me. No, that's not what I'm saying. I think she's like a 380 chance.
Yeah. No, I reckon it's a good wager. And I also do have a little query on Ferrari running a strong 1,200 metres and she loses a
single rider. That's so funny. I used to think she was going to be like a 600 metre horse and now she's just like a squib.
I've listened to a few podcasts and a few review shows, and not many of them actually mentioned it. Like 1,200 meters has got to be a massive query for her. She's got this short, sharp sprint over 1,000, 1,100, and she's a fast horse, and wet track is going to be right up her alley. But I reckon Mr. Rumbini's a better horse.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like because she was winning by massive margins at Ballarat on like testing tracks, not too testing, but on like. Yeah, I don't know. I just always thought she was going to be a miler and she was going to be a really good horse, but she just hasn't done it. It was disappointing.
Yeah, it's interesting. She's also deep into the preparation as well, so I just don't know how much improvement there is compared to Miss Rumbini.
Yeah.
All right, the next race I'm playing in at Ballarat comes up in race 7. It is a benchmark 100, 1,100-meter race. Mrs. Chrissy is the favorite down on 53 kilos with $4.20. Joyful Fortune, $5. Ballinger, $5. She's Dances is $5.50. And Katsu is $9. I'm happy to back the two horses we haven't seen on the scene for a very, very long time. They are the two best horses in the race. They've got the two best ratings in the race. The first of those is number one, Joyful Fortune. Look, this horse hasn't raced in a few years, so there is a chance we're going to get better on race day. I took a bit of $7.50. There's a chance he does drift a bit, but this is a horse who ran in an Everest. He's ran three times in Australia. He's won those other two times. 1,100 meters is probably perfect. 1,000 meters probably would have been even better. as I said, even adjusted to 59.5 kilos, he's got ratings on the board here that will simply win this. And I know he's not going to run to those, but he's still going to be right in the finish, I feel like. And his recent jump outs have been awesome. The other horse who is returning from a bit of an injury spell is She Dances. And she's another one. I know she's been a long time off the scene, but she's been jumping out like an absolute rocket as well. And let's not forget her SP profile. It's absolutely huge, and she's run some big figures as well. So Mrs. Chrissy, she's probably deserving to be where she sort of is in the market, but the back end of 1,100 metres on a fast tempo, potentially, that could see her out. 1,100 metres is probably, you know, 1,000, 1,100 metres is good for her. She doesn't get a strong 12. Ballinger won a really weird crap race last start, beat Harry Got Styles, who ended up winning again. But, yeah, I'm keen on 1 and 3. Did you have any thoughts, Bot?
Nah. You couldn't pay me to back a horse off 765 days, but you do. Are you back in Spirit of Gaylord in the fifth as well?
No. Or do you think I'm just looking for... Is this my new system bet?
It's a system. Spirit of Gaylord ran... I reckon he ran in the Tab Trophy like 4 years ago. And I wanted... Like he was a... I backed him off splits at Flemington during the carnival. Oh, no, I don't even think I backed him because I don't think I was old enough to back him. That's how long ago he was racing.
That's right. You're allowed to say you backed him.
No, I didn't. I genuinely did not bet until I was over the age of 18.
Oh, you are so boring.
Oh, I swear to God.
That is typical bot behavior.
Spirit of Gala didn't race for 1,001 days before last start. System bet.
Well, you know, there's a few horses. Who are the horses that are coming out of retirement that were duds at stud?
Militarize and Golden Mile.
Yeah, Militarize and Golden Mile. So they're probably going to be a sort of similar setup, 3 years without racing. Maybe two. No, maybe
that long. Militarize only retired like... Well, they didn't even retire that long ago.
Probably get to nearly 2 years by the time they run.
Nah, it'd be like a year and a half.
All right. Is there anything else you want to say about Ballarat?
Nah.
All right. Let's go over to Sydney then, because you said it on Twitter.
Yeah, start off in race one. What is going on there?
Let me just bring up the meeting here. So the rails plus 4 meters. Have we got rain in Sydney as well? There probably is going to be...
Death, taxes, and
Stand by. Yeah, I think there's rain on the whole of the East Coast. So 0 to 7 millimetres of rain, but it's 33 degrees. So a bit of a tricky one. Not sure how much we'll actually get. Anyway, race one is a benchmark 72 in name, but not in nature, I would think. It's over 1,200 metres. Private Harry, $2.20. The Blade, $3. Manuscript, $7.50. Candlewick, $10. And Unleashing, $12. But I'll let you go first. Talk about all your breeding jargon.
Oh, breeding jargon. Oh, well, the Blade is. I was looking at, because I saw it run really well on debut, and it's what I just like to look at the pedigrees, and its grandma looked very familiar. Its name was Helsinge, who was Black Caviar's mum. So. And also All Too Hard's mum. So the Blade's mum is a full sister to. All Too Hard. A bit of a page on it's by Toronado. It won on debut like a bomb by 6 lengths on a heavy track and ran time. It ran about three lengths faster than Aliana ran on the same day over the same distance in the race after. So it's a bit of a lineup, a bit of a comparison, even though Aliana's a 10 furlong horse and it was over 1,150. But yeah, this is a really nice horse. Like this Private Harry, he seems like the up and running one, I guess. Like the, you know, he might pinch it, but the Blade's a much better horse. But yeah, I think he probably, just based on that, he probably should be favourite. Like what he did on debut was awesome. And then the Scorching Legend by Too Darn Hot. He resumed at Canterbury and just won go and watch the replay. He was just never winning that race, and the splits are just as mental as what it looked like. So I reckon those two horses are very, very nice horses. I think Scorching Legend, he won't win. I'd be surprised if he wins. He's $18. He probably has something on it. he'll just be running on into a nice fourth, and like, you know, he's a horse that you want to be on in the guineas next year, I reckon. Like, he's those splits are just something else, and the blade is got a page behind it, and it's, yeah, there's something about him, and I think he might be a very, very nice horse. And I think, you know, Private Harry, he's a squibby one on the scene already, but the blade's just a much better horse, I think.
Yeah, the blade will be my best bet in Sydney. I thought his debut performance on the Kenzo was absolutely awesome. It was on a pretty wet track, but he was on debut. He was racing against race fit horses who, you know, the start prior, that Alpine Sky was only beaten a length by Iron Hawk and Silmarillion. That's not bad form. And I just think the substance to his form and the horses that he beat on debut compared to what Private Harry has sort of been beating. I know he's been putting up the big numbers, but at Newcastle and Hawkesbury, this is 1,200 metres. I think the blade is going to be better suited to 1,200. And if there's any rain on the way, then that suits the blade even more. So the obvious other thing is that it's Tommy Berry and Team Hawks versus Ashley Morgan and Nathan Doyle. So,
oh, I thought you were about to... I'd probably rather Nathan Doyle and whatever the other guy's name was, to be honest.
Why? Because he'd be snicked.
Because I don't think...
It's a tiny field.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, I just don't rate Hawks.
Yeah. Fair enough. But, yeah, I think the blade should be favourite here. Currently $3.30. So there's a bit of an edge there. And, yeah, he's had a recent jump out, and he looked very, very slick in that. Who was that with? I'll get it up in a sec. But
Time to Boogie, Axius and Husk.
Time to Boogie. Time to Boogie's a fast horse and goes right. Time to Boogie. She's just sort of your decent sprinter, benchmark sort of sprinter.
Benchmark 88 sprinter.
Yeah, but a fast one and a decent one that goes around in Sydney all the time, and it beat it in a trial, and it looks pretty good doing it. So I just think there's a bit more substance to this blade, the blade, and I think you can be getting the job done nice and early. Race
got his bollocks on still too, so they might want to make it a stallion.
Yep, why not? Anything else in Sydney?
Why are you asking me that?
Don't know. I'm just trying to get a bit of a breather here, but... There was one horse that I was going to back in Sydney who has scratched from Sydney, and she's gone to Eagle Farm. And this looks a bit of a fill-up job, in my opinion. It's race five.
What
race is it? Race five at Eagle Farm, number three, Cigar Flick. I think, look, you'll probably look at the ratings bot and go, oh, it does look a little bit short, and I can understand that. But she's just set to absolutely peak. This is Chris Waller. It's third up. It's drawn a gate. It's a wet track, which she likes. She gets a weight swing on Danny St. Darcy, and she was flying past at last start. Danny St. Darcy is probably on the downward spiral this preparation, and Cigar Flick is still on the upward. And she gets to 1,300 metres. I think she's crying out for just a little bit more ground.
Man, she's crying out for like a mile. I don't know why he keeps running over.
Yeah, well, she was a little bit unlucky last start at 1,200 metres at Caulfield behind Neons, was held up a little bit from a long way back. And now she just bumps into one of the worst races you've ever seen. You can currently
Danny St. Darcy. Don't call it a bad race when Danny St. Darcy's in the race.
Besides Danny St. Darcy, she's a good horse, and she's done good things this preparation, but she was still a little bit average last start. Like, there's a good chance that she's over the top.
Yeah. Nah.
Danny St. Darcy is a good horse, and she's the one and only danger. But Cigar Flick out to 1,300 metres. She gets a 1.5 kilo weight swing from their last start meeting at Caulfield, and she was running all over her late. So,
yeah, I see. I had a look at the splits, yeah. She's third up. Her career peak came at Eagle Farm too, which is
fun. Yep.
Because Eagle Farm's weird like that, isn't it? I've heard people say that. I've got no idea about Queensland, but I've heard people say Eagle Farm's like a horses for courses sort of track.
Yeah, it definitely can be like that.
Yeah, Jesus, look at the splits. Ugh.
She's a talented horse. She just hasn't had circumstances.
She's a Churchill from the family of Fangirl, and they want to run it over 1,200 metres. Like, get it out to a mile at least.
She's obviously, I know you just mentioned Fangirl. She's got the same colours as well. It almost does remind you a little bit about Fangirl, like just getting back in these races, being given none, and just running home in these flashy splits. Oh, Saturday's just got to be the day for her.
Never drawn a gate. Like, she never, ever draws one.
Yeah. Bailey Wheeler, I don't know much about him, but please just don't fall off and you get this horse home.
He's doing well, Bailey Wheeler.
Beautiful.
If you listen, well done, Bailey. He's doing well.
All right, let's get over to WA. I think Brett Norton was having conniptions that we weren't going to talk about this race because somehow I forgot to talk about that in our Twitter post. I was just thinking, oh, I'm doing a podcast with Bot tonight and he's not going to be doing WA form. So I didn't even mention that the only Group 1 in Australia this week is the Norvalley Stakes.
If you'd call it that.
The big thing, Botter, that I'm hearing from across the West is that it's going to be a strong easterly wind, which is going to suit horses up in the first few and running.
Well, they better get going on nutrition then.
Yeah. And also being the third week of the Pinnacles, that's what they call it, the carnival, it's rail plus 9 meters. So
We'll only have two tracks over there. On a Saturday, they only race at either Ascot or Belmont. It's super weird.
It is very weird.
And it's like half-half, so the tracks get like, it's like Sandown during the winter. Like they only race on them. So it'd be a hard job being the track manager.
Yeah. Let's go through the market. Super Smink is into favourite. Been absolutely smashed in betting today. I think Kingsley is on, so that might be part of the reason. $4.60 equal favourite with Storyville, $4.60. Attrition is third favourite at $5. Not sure how. Democracy Manifest is $6.50. Light Infantryman is $10. Sox Nation, $14. Numerians had a bit of support, is $15. Quick speed map, Botter. Storyville, the three-year-old, has drawn barrier one. They've said they want to go forward. Democracy Manifest is in two. Doesn't have a whole lot of speed.
Can it go forward? Does it have any pace at all?
Storyville or Democracy Manifest?
Democracy Manifest.
I don't think so. I don't know. If it can go forward, then it's a chance. Attrition, I think, is just going to land in the most lovely position. I think there's a fair chance he gets the 1-1 or maybe two back, one off. Sox Nation and Numerian go forward. Admiration Express goes forward. And Maricino draws barrier 13, and he is going to be the one who injects some real, real tempo into this race. What were your initial thoughts, mate?
I just don't think you ever get these sorts of things. Like, in Melbourne, it seems so weird that attrition's not favourite. Like, do you think the same thing? Like, I just don't understand why. I don't know if they do it different or something, but in Melbourne, I think that, like, attrition's just always favourite in this. Like, why is he not favourite?
I think in WA.
No, like, even we've in, got, like, Sydney sometimes, like, I think, like, there's, like, weird favourites.
We've
like,
got the,
not that I'm like, being a smart ass or anything.
I know what you're saying. And I'm about to come out and I'm about to say some things that I will regret if the three-year-old filly comes out and wins. But you got to have bold.
It's favourite.
You got to have bold opinions in this game. I think the Pike tax and the Grant and Alana Williams tax for these three-year-old fillies in the Norvalley Stakes is just absolutely through the roof. And you can probably blame horses like Perfect Reflection and Arcadia Queen and some of these absolute superstar three-year-old fillies who have come through and won this race. Let's just say it as it is. This three-year-old crop in WA right now have nothing on some of those horses. In fact, the three-year-old division has been junk so far. She rated to, in her WA Guineas win, she rated to 91.6, I believe. 91.1. To put that into context, attrition rated to 101.5 when winning the Hill Stakes two starts back. So that's about a five-length difference. Storyville can't win this race, in my opinion. I am absolutely shocked that she's favourite. This is a hard campaign for these three-year-old fillies. They've got to back up into the WA Guineas for starters. And then they've got a run here. She had a fast tempo in that Guinea set by London's Image. And usually with fast tempos, the best horse will usually panel the rest of the field. She's only just got up on the line by a long neck.
The splits were good, though.
The splits were good, but there should be margins in behind bot, and there's just not. And that's because they're no good.
She's good. Yeah. I mean, like, she was running time. Like, I mean, the rating's not there, but I can see her in a faster pressure race. She just seems like the sort of one that can. She can go again.
I think she'll elevate. I think she'll elevate off last start, no doubt. Well, do I think she'll elevate to a point where she can run 100 plus? No. So she's not in my top five selections. And I potentially will be laying her for a place. Maybe. Maybe not. But I just don't think she can win.
I don't know. I just think it's just funny to me. That attrition's not favored. He just comes in with the best form by a long way, and he gets a really nice map. I think what it is that like I feel like there's not these sort of profile horses that are shorter in the market because they have a specific profile in Melbourne. Like we don't get those sorts of things. Like, you know, she's a 3-year-old filly on the minimum in this race, like at the Railway. Like we don't necessarily have that in Melbourne, which is maybe, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me why this is. I mean, like, I guess she has a spot in the market 100%, but she's just a long way off it and she has to improve, and she probably will. Like, she won well last time. She will, yeah. That's good.
Well, there's a chance that she doesn't. I mean, what if she's over the top?
Yeah, she will.
What if she's over the top?
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
What if she's like clung up in between runners and doesn't get the gaps from barrier one because she's 3 back the fence? Like,
mm-hmm. And she doesn't get out.
But there's just what I'm saying is there's so many things against her here that should say she's not favorite. Like, we use the same ratings bot, and you look at her ratings profile. Tell me what price you would think a horse with that ratings profile would be in a Group 1 race.
Well, it depends how old it is. Like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, like 20, 21.
Yeah, at least.
I mean, but if she was like a 5-year-old coming off that rating, she like you'd mark no like upside. Fucking 6-1. Like
she's got upside. So that's the massive thing in her favor. But yeah. I honestly think she's being priced the way she is because of historical statistics in this race with 3-year-old fillies going well on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. From what I can see, that seems to happen a bit. Over there, or even in Sydney, it never happens in Melbourne. I wish it did because I would absolutely love to do attrition.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about attrition. You know, he's going really well this preparation. 1800 meters weight for age is probably perfect for him. He drew wide in the Hill Stakes. He went forward. It was fourth up. Exactly 1 year to the day since he won the Toorak, which was also fourth up. He went forward. He held off Kovalika. The ratings was really strong. Then he obviously went to the 5 Diamonds, was quite unlucky, I thought. He's come over here. He has had a trial. You'll notice that he probably looked a little bit flat in that trial, but he was racing fast WA sprinters, and they seem to go a lot harder in their trials over there. They treat them more like races, 1,000-meter trials. So I think that'll just bring him on enough, and barrier 5 is perfect. So, like, I'd mark attrition more like 380, 360.
Yeah, that's standard about right. I feel like Democracy Manifest's the one that can, you know, he's the real danger to him. Like, you saw, I'd probably just bracket bet the both of him, I guess. Bet to win a little bit more attrition. But, you know, if you're going to get knocked off by one, it's going to be Democracy Manifest. If like, you know, Zara just pushes them all out the way and wins. Be surprised I mean, like, it's 480, so we haven't really spoken about Super Smink. I don't know much about it, but it's run the exact same rating 3 times in a row. That normally means that, you know, it's found its level. That might be just a base, I don't know, but
yeah, she's a really consistent horse. I think 1800 meters at weight for age on a fast tempo is still some query. Like, this is a horse who was beaten in a champion, like he's been beaten at 1600 meters quite a few times. Keshi Broom got the better of her. Zipaway's got the better of her. Rusty Dreams even got the better of her at 1600 meters. I know she's probably improved this preparation, which her ratings would suggest she has, but it was a really slow tempo in the Railway. Potentially she was flattered by that. She had 53 kilos. So up to weight for age, 1800 meters. Like, is she going to run a strong 18? I don't know. does the eye lie a little bit last start with her running through the line and a bit unlucky at 16 last start, given it was such a soft tempo potentially. But yeah, I'm attrition on top. I've got Democracy Manifest in second as a smaller result. Light Infantryman, thereabouts. Stock Nation, thereabouts. And I think Casino 17, he's drawn really wide, but he'll run on well. We have shopped 26-1 for attrition all in and 15-1 for Light Infantryman all in. So fingers crossed for us at the sixth day.
Results.
Prayers up. Prayers up. Mm. All right. Anything else, mate?
Forward. Nah.
Let's start our Sharton preview, shall we?
Honkers.
We're just going to talk about the four group ones. Obviously, the barrier draws were done today. The first is the Hong Kong Vase over 2,400 metres. Obviously, all these races are run at weight for age conditions. Without a fight, he is currently the $4.33 favourite with Bet365. That's obviously just because it's converted from the fractional odds overseas. Stellenbosch is $5. Dubai on a $7.50. Gia Velotto, $7.50. Luxembourg, $9. And Marcusat, $9. Without a fight, but drawn barrier one with Mark Zara on board. What do you think of that draw?
What draw? What is it? Barrier one.
Barrier one for without a fight. It's probably not the most ideal draw ever. Yeah, but
they want them to run along. Is that pace? What's the pace like?
Probably the Hong Kong horses go forward.
But they make Luxembourg a pacemaker because he's a grinder.
Yeah, potentially.
Continuous probably wants it fast.
Potentially, yeah. So that's probably your hope.
Yeah. What about this Stellenbosch? I remember him. Where's he from? Stellenbosch, sounds familiar.
He's the Japanese horse. He's got some really, really good form on the board. She's the three-year-old filly. So there's 3 3-year-olds who've all got sort of intertwined form, sort of Stellenbosch, the Janta Manta, who's in the mile, and also Ascoli Pacino. Those are like the three big ones. Obviously, Ascoli's came over here and done really well, but this is the one who's stretched over further. And yeah, her rating is still on an upward trajectory. She ran third behind Savinia last start at 2,400 metres, second to start prior, and she beat Ascoli Pacino at the mile in the Oka show. So
yeah, right. She's
hard to line up, but I think without a fight, it's a deserving favourite. Dubai Honours here at 2,400 metres, but my confidence in without a fight is growing stronger by the day. I thought his return run in the Champion Stakes was excellent. That is world-class form behind VS Dina and a tissue, and he did win a Caulfield Cup second up, so don't worry about that at all, punters. We know he's fit, we know he's firing, and if he's handled going over to Hong Kong, he's a good traveller. He's gone over to Dubai before. I think he's a well-deserving favourite.
What about Irisine? That horse sounds familiar.
Yeah, she's the French galloper, and I think she is better on wet tracks.
Yeah, right. She was held up in that Champion Stakes, I remember.
Yeah, I mean, she's potentially over the odds. Her only exposure to good ground was in a Japan Cup behind Equinox. So,
how'd she go? Smashed?
Nah, she ran midfield, beaten sort of 10 lengths, but I don't know how much of a guide it is. Like, it's a Japan Probably Cup at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, Luxembourg, yeah. $9 seems short. He just seems gone. He's always finishing at the back of the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. At the sixth day, we have backed, without a fight, $11. Stellenbosch at $15. Dubai Honor might get us at $7.50. And Irisine, I actually agree with you, but $15 for that horse, the French horse, is actually decent. But it's just that query around whether she does handle a rock hard, firm Sha Tin track. All right, race five. This is going to be very, very short, but the Hong Kong Sprint, Ka Ying Rising, number one. He's currently $1.30. on Bet365. He's going to start shorter than that. Helios Express is 15s. Toshin Macau, 15s. California Spangle and How Deep Is Your Love are both 17. How far, bot?
I don't remember seeing a horse and thinking like, geez, that like, you know, there's Black Caviar who is the fastest horse of all time. And then this thing just came out. I was like, is things. I've never felt a feeling like, you know, there might be ever one as fast as her. And like, you know, like just looking at it, like he could get there. Like, what he did was just ridiculous. And he's eased up the 100-meter mark. Like, I've never seen. Yeah. Anyway, I'm talking out of my, I don't have any numbers for it or anything. And, but just the general vibe I got was like, what is this thing? And
yeah,
like just the way they tried to just run it in, like they run it as quickly as possible. And the leaders are out the back of the screen and this thing's just cruising. And he's like standing up the 100-meter mark. I'm like, Zach, don't stand up the 100-meter mark. Run him out, win by 8 lengths, and run 134 or whatever.
Yeah.
Time form. Like, just, I hope he doesn't ease it up here.
The funny thing is, they've tried to beat this horse the last two starts by going fast. And it's just completely played into his hands. Off a fast tempo last start, he ran a split from the 400 to the 200 of 10.7, which is just absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
He broke Sacred Kingdom's 1200 meter track record, which has stood the test of time.
It's just crazy.
And he did it like easing up the final 100 meters. So I hope they go fast. If they don't, then there's a chance that he still rockets to the front. Barrier 11, don't worry about that, punters. He's so fast out of the barriers. He will win this, and he will win the Arista next year.
Yeah. I mean, if he doesn't, like, fall over in a wet track or whatever, I don't know. Like, you know, you can just see him sprint. Like, you know, they're just sort of cruising, and then you can see him take off. It was like, you can just see it happen in whatever the last start was in the jockey club sprint. As soon as Zach told me to go, he just went. You can see his legs quicken. It's just, yeah, he's... I hope he's as good as I think he is.
Yeah.
So I've got no idea.
So does everyone. you mentioned the wet track. Like, first up, it was raining that day, and he resumed with 61 kilos. And the Executives Cup, this is a race that is historically dominated by those down in the weights. This is a race where Victor the winner made Lucky Swain-S look stupid.
Yeah.
With the 52 kilos up against the class horse with the 61. He carried the 61 on a deteriorating track and he still bolted in like as easy as you like. So
did you back him first up? Or
I backed the second horse, Beauty Waves, because I just thought had the right profile to get through the wet and sort of at the weights, beat it, and he jogged it. Mm.
Yeah.
Well done to David Hayes for all his, you know, for getting around it and really promoting this horse, because David knows that he's only got a few years left in training. It seems like JD will take over in Hong Kong and take Lindsay Park over to Hong Kong. Yep, that's the whispers I'm hearing, and he's very keen. And this seems... Oh, he'd have to be 50, wouldn't he?
No, 50s? I wouldn't be trained to... Les Bridges, like 100.
Maybe 60. No, he'd be older than... What am I saying? 50 is way too young.
62.
Yeah, he'd be 60. Yeah, there you go. This could be the horse that keeps him training for an extra 12 months.
Yeah, I heard someone ask Zach Purton, is this the horse that's going to keep you around in Hong Kong for a bit longer? He says, yeah, probably.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Hong Kong Mile, because this is the most competitive of the four races, I should say. It is $5 a field. Soul Rush, $5. Antino, $5.50. Voyage Bubble, $5.50. Janta Manta, $7. Galaxy Patch, $7.50. And Lazat, obviously, ran in a Golden Eagle, is $8. Any thoughts here, Botter?
Weren't you telling me this Janta Manta was really, really, really good?
Yes. This Janta Manta is really, really good. He hasn't raced in, I think, just over 200 days, but he was last seen making Ascoli Piceno look second rate, really. Put 2.5 lengths on him from up on the speed. He's a horse that I can potentially see myself backing. There's always a horse that there is sort of track whispers and a big boom on every year in Hong Kong, and it's usually a Japanese horse, and I think this is the one this year that everyone is just raving about, saying he looks an absolute picture. But The horse that I did have something on all in was Voyage Bubble. He was $11 before he won last start. He actually meets Galaxy Patch 2 kilos better off at the weights for having beaten him last start. He's going to get a beautiful run from Barrier 5 with James McDonald on board. And he ran second in this race last year to Golden 60, a fast finishing second at that. So the price... That good? What was that?
Are the locals that good?
They're no superstars, but Voyage Bubble and Galaxy Patch are decent horses, but...
Soul Rush run the one, the Japanese mile.
Yeah, it won last start, and it looked really good, but I think you can forecast the Hong Kong horses going to their best usually, and sometimes you can't forecast the Japanese horses going to their best, so that's what sort of brings them a little bit closer together. But Voyage Bubble is my only result at the moment. What do you think of Antino?
I think he's in career best form. He seems like the sort of horse, you know, he seems like the sort of horse that would be in Hong Kong from an Australian standpoint, I guess. This is the sort of horse that a Golden Eagle has kept around, I guess, or like a Five Diamonds or something. You know, like in years gone by, I feel like Antino would be in Hong Kong right now racing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the last two races have been his best. He was fast finishing in the Champions Mile, and you know, the Toorak was ridiculous. So, you know, he runs to that level. He's in the finish here. What price is he? What was he favourable?
He's 550. Like, he'll get better on the day.
Yeah, that seems, I don't know. I don't think he's world. I don't even know how good these horses are.
I think you'll get $657.
Yeah.
And that's potentially, I think the thing I'm concerned about with Antino is he has had a long preparation and now he goes to Hong Kong at the end of it after running a few big career peaks.
His two last runs have been his best runs. So you can't really, you know, if it was dropping off, sure. But, you know.
I just say it's impossible to predict when a horse is at the end of its preparation.
Exactly. I mean, so don't try and do it.
Yeah, but I don't know if I want to back him at 550.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to back him at 550 because I don't really even know how good these horses are. I've got no idea.
Yeah, well, Soul Rush, like the Japanese, I don't think it's a stellar year in Japan right now. Soul Rush is a very good horse.
Didn't he win by like 3 or 4?
No, he won by 2.5. He did have sort of everything in his favour. And this Jantamanta, as I said, like Jantamanta put an absolute space on a Scully Pacino, who was backed as if unbeatable in a Golden Eagle. So you can sort of take a bit of a line there. I feel for Vincent Ho because he drew Barrier 14 with Golden 60 in this race last year. Now he draws Barrier 14. The only difference is he's not on Golden 60. He's on a far inferior horse in Galaxy Patch, who's still a good horse.
Golden 60.
He had the massive SP last start, and I can see the locals really rallying around him despite drawing 14, but he's just got a bit of a task, and that barrier's a bit ugly. He's going to get back a long way. Docklands, he'll probably run somewhere midfield, and Lazat, he goes forward. But, yeah, there's just so many different angles to this race. It's clearly the most competitive of the four.
Sweet. Looks like a good race.
It does. Let's move on to the last one, and... History beckons as Romantic Warrior looks to become the first horse ever to win the Hong Kong Cup 3 times in a row. He's currently a $1.44 favorite with Bet365 from Liberty Island $6. Tat Sierra is $11. Wingspan 13s and Content $17. Well, he drew Barrier 1 in the Jockey Club Cup. And he shouldered them out the way and said thanks for coming against far inferior opposition, but he's got to take on a few decent Japanese horses here, Bot. What do you think?
He's gonna be hard to beat. No, he's, what price have you got for him? 200 to 1. What do you have back in?
So there was a few different things going around. You could back him to win last start and this race at $3.50. So I've got that going for pretty much my max bet, and I've also got Kai Ying Rising into Romantic Warrior at $4.20 for pretty much my max bet as well, 10 units.
Right. Cool. Ooh, Liberty Island's racing.
Yeah.
He'd be. What's the price between those two? What's She was really bad last time, wasn't she?
She's $6. She's coming off a flop, which is interesting. She's obviously got a second to Equinox in a Japan Cup, and
she was off a long break though, wasn't she? That was the last time she raced or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's
spelling Liberty Island.
Like, I think you can see Romantic Warrior going to his best, and Liberty Island is just a bit of a grey up, as the racing and the sports guy say, the dunno. I think she's the dunno.
She was confusing. Like, at her best, she could beat him, but, you know.
Yeah, but she needs to be at her best and more.
Yeah.
She ran third in the Shima Classic before that, behind Rebel's Romance and Shaya. Like, is she
the
really...
Fox isn't a bad horse either, but from Europe.
Yeah. I don't know. I sort of think...
Content's like a good horse.
Tastiera, Damian Lane is on that horse.
Yeah. Nimble Nimbus. That's a cool name. Never heard of it.
Everything just points to Romantic Warrior here. He should win. Liberty Island and Tastiera need to produce, like... Liberty Island, probably the only danger if she produces her absolute best, but I don't know. I don't know if she will be.
I think this content thing's pretty good. She beat Emily Upjohn last time in a fillies race. Oh, not last time. A while ago, actually. Well, she's been around the block since then.
It's just so hard to line up. Like, there's not much speed in this race. There's a chance Romantic Warrior leads here. He could just go straight to the front from barrier one and just, like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
His ride on it last year was probably the best ride I've ever seen.
Yeah, but he wasn't going as well this time last year.
Wasn't he?
No. Australia took a
lot out
of him.
Did he just win a Cox Plate?
Yeah, he won a Cox Plate. I'm convinced, and I think a lot of other people will say, he still wasn't at his best with all the feed problems. He probably wasn't at his full fitness. Danny Shum said he's probably only 90% fit, couldn't get him as fit as he would have liked.
If he was 90% fit, he would have been... running last. I say that shit doesn't make
sense. Yeah, but he ran fourth in a Turnbull.
Yeah, but that was because they went ridiculously fast.
Yeah, and
he's like Animo. He's so much like Animo, it's not funny.
Yeah, well, he's better than Animo.
No, he's not. He's like the same horse as Animo.
Nah, he's a bit better. Come on, Bot. Come on, Bot.
They're like rated the same, and they just do the exact same thing. They just put themselves in the spot and they win by small margins because they just... And like it's they put themselves in the spot, so you know you got to be able to do that. You got to run early. So there's that.
It's bloody exciting. There's a strong case you can say we're going to be watching the best horse in the world on Saturday, like Romantic Warrior. You can make a strong case for that. Like, he's won everything in Hong Kong. He's come and won a Cox Plate. He went to Japan and won over 1600. He's done everything a horse can basically do. And as much as I love Golden 60, the fact that Romantic Warrior has gone around the world and has
done it. You reckon?
Like, there is a chance that his reputation, when everything is said and done, he will be regarded as the one. Like, Golden 60 is a better horse. Don't get me wrong. But Romantic Warrior, like, he's going to race on the dirt in Dubai next year.
Yeah.
Imagine if he goes and wins that, like, his legacy is just, like, unparalleled.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
So we've got Romantic Warrior, potentially the best horse in the world, like best CV in the world anyway, whether you want to say rated the best, that's up for debate, and also the best sprinter in the world in Kai Ying Rising. So can't wait for it, Bot. Are you going to be there on Sunday at the pub watching with us?
Yeah, I'll try to be. I'm working. I think I'm going to get Nico on the captions.
Yeah.
Beautiful. See if he... Yeah. Don't worry.
And as I said, if you're out there at Sha Tin, very, very jealous, make sure you take plenty of photos. All right, Friday, fill up. I've got two at Moonee Valley tomorrow. Race 4, number 7, both sides now. Rode a ridiculously, not ridiculous, but it was a fast tempo when beaten by Autumn Slide. She kicked for home and looked like she was going to win. This was a leader bias day at the Valley. We haven't had too many. The track has been playing well, but it was starting to get very leaderish, and that meant the pace and the tempo of races went up because all jockeys wanted to find the front, and she sat second, and she was a really game run. So if she gets back to her Ballarat figure the start prior, I think she'll lead this at a more moderate tempo. She's 1,600 metres back to 1,500, and Johnny Allen just needs to go forward and take the equation.
Johnny Allen.
I think she dangerous. Should be winning. I think she should be
that's
winning.
Dangerous.
Another horse that I think will be winning is race six, number six, Proved Bot. I think you might like this one. She went straight to the front at Maui, ran really good time from the front, carrying Carly and Heffel. There were good margins back to third. And now she gets Craig Williams on board. So barrier 10, no issue at all. And I absolutely love the way that she cornered and changed legs out at Maui, which is a tight track like the Valley. Stays at 1,200 metres. She looks an absolute beauty. So I'm backing her as well. Those are the two Friday fill-ups.
Yeah, I saw that, but it was quite on pace that day at Maui. That's the only thing. I do agree with you, though, that she looks really talented. Proved.
Yep.
She's by time test too. It's a bit of substance, not a squib. But yeah, she'll go to the front. She's the one to beat.
Yep.
But if there is a small thing that was, I think it was quite on pace that day at Maui.
All right, fair enough. All right, we need a back, we need a lay, and we need a pray. While you think of it, Bot, I'll quickly go first.
Mate, I haven't even done that.
The most likely winning chance on Saturday for me is race 5, Eagle Farm, number 3, Cigar Flick. You can currently get $1.95 on Ladbrokes and Neds. I am going to say she's more like a $1.65 chance, $1.70. Obviously, in Hong Kong, like play the Kai Ying Rising, Romantic Warrior double, that should be winning. That's a best bet as well. My best value is in the Winterbottom. I'm going to make it attrition. I know we're not the big price already, but I still think there's genuine value at the $5 currently being shopped. There's a chance he sits in the 1-1, and if it's on speed, then that just plays into his favor even more. And my lay of the day comes up in the same race, number 16, Storyville, will not win.
Right. Mine's the one in race 2 called Dream All Day. That'll be my best bet. And I actually had a look at the best value. This will go at around like 150 Betfair. I thought there was just something with Soul Choice. I think from the outside barrier, I think they'll roll forward. She was 14 to 2,000 second up. And, you know, she's a... I know her best form is really quite strong. So they might roll forward with her third up and, you know, she'll go around at a massive price. She gets them with 52.5 kilos.
She's the gay bot thing.
Yeah.
Didn't she go to
Tassie?
Yeah, she went to Tassie.
Did she
beat Wings of Song or was that a different time?
I think she did. No, they were racing each other. She either got beaten or beat her or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's got good form. She started $6 in the Group 3 in Sydney this time last year. So, you know, she can recapture that form. You know, they just went too quickly last time. She's going to go around massive price. I'd probably just have something on it. She's caught my eye. One of those sort of ones that, you know.
Yeah. All right, sweet as. I think that's all I had. Let's rip through a few questions. Let's go Twitter ones first. Friley Dicko says, what would have to happen to Kai Ying Rising for recommendation to beat at home? Someone replied to the comment. Form Forensic said, the list has no end.
What? So he's saying recommendation is going
to What would it? Have to happen to Kai Ying Rising for recommendation to beat it?
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't know. Probably like... run backwards or something.
Yeah, well, what? Recommendation unseated his track work rider on Wednesday morning.
And worked for the sustainer.
I think Kai Ying Rising will have to unseat Zach Purton for that to happen.
Yeah, touch during
wood.
The race.
Touch wood. Absolutely touch wood. Chris, the caster, says, what's the fine for J-Mac when he salutes the crowd standing with 50 metres to go, 5 lengths clear on Romantic Warrior? Do they do that in Hong Kong? The fines.
Did it last time?
I think.
I don't know. No idea.
I don't know. It'll probably be. I don't know. What do they fine them? $20,000 for standing up with 50 meters to go. No idea, but it'll be on the front page of every Hong Kong newspaper the next day.
Money. It wouldn't be. We wouldn't worry.
Punters and collectors, I'd love to hear everyone's thoughts on recommendations chances weekend. Especially Nico's, if he's there, and where can I find the market for him to finish last? Everyone wants to speak about recommendation. I think the simple fact is he's a query running a strong 1,200 metres in a listed race in Australia, let alone the Group 1 Hong Kong Sprint, where they've been going fast tempo. So,
yeah, I mean, you've got probably the will probably end up being the best sprinter since Black Caviar gone around the race. Like, good luck.
Yeah. I do think there's a chance he runs last. Coops has got a few, but how do you feel about the Blades' pedigree? I think you've already touched on that.
Black Caviar, not bad.
Ben, what is your greatest bet of the year? Recency bias. We had a good crack at Arapaho last week in the Zipping Classic All In, so that was a pretty good one.
Kingswood.
Yeah, Kingswood was a good one. Well found by you. I don't know. I think my best bet's coming up this Sunday with the countless amount of multis we've got running into Kaying Rising and Romantic Warrior. Ben, do you think Kaying Rising could win over the time on a 9.55 and crack 55 seconds? I don't know. The 9.55 has brought some good horses unstuck in the pass pot.
Yeah, you've got it. Got beat. She went over to as for Europe and exactly their best.
These squibs are very fast out of the barriers, and then you get stuck in behind them, and you are sniffing for the entire straight. So, yes, obviously he'd probably run 54 seconds, Kaying Rising, but don't think we'll ever get to see him at the Valley. But do you prefer Sha Tin or Ballarat?
Well, I'm probably not going to be too much. Not going to be doing much betting at either of them, so I think I'll enjoy Hong Kong more.
Beautiful. Brett and Norton, we wish him good luck. I think Brett actually has to get his own sort of office out there at Ballarat, because, sorry, Alex, Brett is quickly becoming Mitch Friedman's racing manager.
Send him forward.
He's a good man. Any danger of covering the Northerly, give the boy some love. I think we've given him plenty of love. So Stu has got a few. I better get a shout out for getting Kaying Rising added to the 2025 Everest market. Stu, thank you very much. Stu is definitely my whipping boy when it comes to adding horses to futures markets, and he got it added. They went up $15 and we had a bet. I would say he'll be starting a very, very short price favourite in next year's Everest.
What do you reckon? If he stays around the same level of form, what price do you reckon he go around?
1.5.
Depends how good Switzerland is.
It depends if Switzerland stays in training. It depends on a lot of things, but I would imagine he starts sort of as short as Nature Strip did a few years ago.
Yeah.
I retract my payment to Bot for coming on my YouTube video. Kim, what is it? Whatever that means.
Because remember, I did that YouTube video with him on his, and then he wanted to pay me, and I said no, so he put on a bet for Kaying Rising to win the Everest next year. Put $20 on it, at $15. So he's saying that bet's voided, and he's just going to keep it for himself.
that is such a Stew behavior. Such stupid behavior. I went on his thing and he didn't pay me. What a dog.
Well, I'm better than you.
Oh, please, please, please. There must be a lot of nerds on Wolf Den that actually don't listen to your crap. James Lewin, without a fight prep, surely a concern. Should he be favorite? James, it is not a concern. This is how,
yes,
without a fight. What, second up? You won a Caulfield Cup second up.
Yeah, but not for a year. I don't know. It just seems...
I guess that there's always a question mark, but like every yard analyst that I've spoke to said he was fit and ready to go in that Champion Stakes. Like they said, like, he looked unbelievable for the amount of time that he'd missed and the fact he was coming back off an injury.
But what did he do? Was it a tendon?
Yeah, I don't think it was like a bad, I don't know, the tendons are always bad, but
yeah.
At the end of the day, he ran third behind Via Sustana and a tissue at 2,000 metres, and he's going to improve at 2,400. Just needs to get the right run. So, no, I'm not really concerned about the fact that he's second up off a long break. Mm. Jack Larkin, good luck to Toby and the boys from racing.com at Sha Tin this Sunday. I hope they clean up. I hope they clean up as well.
Mm.
I think that Toby is working with Racing Victoria, not racing.com. I think Jack has got that wrong because we've had this conversation with this question before. And I swear that Toby's working with Racing Victoria. Anyway, they're all the same thing. No, I shouldn't say that. Isaac Bishop's got two. If VS Cena was in the Hong Kong Cup, this is a ripping question. What would you price them and who would you back out of obviously VR and Romantic Warrior?
Well, I feel like in Hong Kong, Romantic Warrior would have to be favourite.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he? They'd make him favourite and then you just like have unlimited on this team to beat him.
I think Romantic Warrior would still be about $1.90 and VS Cena would be like $3.
What? Oh my God. How much would you have on? Like just sell the house.
Or maybe it'd be more like $1.80 and like $2.70, $2.80, something like that. But yeah, she wouldn't be favourite. There's no chance she'd be favourite. He would still be a shade of odds on, I think. And I'd like before I saw Romantic Warrior return, I would obviously said I'd be with VS Cena. I don't know. I think it would be a tough decision. It wouldn't be a tough decision for you, but because you wouldn't want to take odds on Romantic Warrior.
Mate, if you're not backing VS Cena at $3 to beat Romantic Warrior, you got rocks in your head.
Maybe she wouldn't be $3, but she would be better than $2.50.
She would like just. He would absolutely destroy him.
There you go. That's no, a big. That's a big bold no, call.
I don't know. No,
she I'm wouldn't kidding. Be $3. I think she'd be maybe $2.60. I reckon she'd be like that. Like he'd yeah, still like, be odds on.
I'd be telling mum and dad to sell a house.
It's an absolute shame we don't get to see it. Like my yeah. God, would have it been an awesome clash? I would be in Hong Kong right now. Hand on heart, I would be in Hong Kong right now if VS Cena went there, and I would have got a media pass. You know, I'm from the Valley, whatever. She won the Cox plate and write this off on tax. Yeah. That's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd come with you just so I can back it on the limited from the Hong Kong totes and pay for yeah. the flight on the way home.
Yeah, you might get $3.20 on the Hong Kong totes with Romantic Warrior still starting $1.50.
Jeez.
Isaac Bishop, Golden 60 super fan, referring to me. How are you feeling knowing the champ won't be running it this Sunday? All good things must come to an end, Isaac, as we know. And I'm looking at my Golden 60 silks that I got signed by Francis Loy and Vincent Ho last year. And I think getting them framed will be my self-Christmas present to myself. So it's obviously very sad that the King Miler of Hong Kong isn't going around, but it just means that we're going to get a very, very competitive race in the Hong Kong Mile this year. And who really knows who's going to win? It's $5 a field. So that's the positive about it. All right. Great return podcast spot. Obviously, we're back because of the Hong Kong international races. We'll see what we do going forward.
Next week.
Not
we're
sure.
We're leaving racing next week.
Not sure. I think Pakenham Cup is in a few weeks.
Oh, Pakenham Cup. We're not doing that.
Pakenham Cup. Nico, that's God's country, Nico.
Nico can do his own podcast.
And then obviously the next big carnival will be the Magic Million. So, I'm actually going to Japan from Boxing Day. So we'll sort of just see what happens. Might take a little bit of time off, might not. So anyway, we'll keep you in the loop. Hopefully we'll be back a few winners. Friday, fill-ups on at the Valley tomorrow. Saturday, a few good bets as well. Go attrition. And then Sunday, Kai Ying Rising. And Romantic Warrior, take the double. Don't worry about the fact that it's $2.30. Hopefully they both win and we see two champions of the turf strut this stuff. Thanks, guys.